So you see, it's one thing to say in a treatise like the Babylonian Captivity that the church has no right to forbid the laity to take the cup. It's another thing to compel ordinary people to take it when they don't feel safe doing it. So be nice to these ordinary people. Be nice to these weak people. The problem is that Karlstadt is impatient. He wants to force things along. He wants to go quicker. He'll say that it's a mortal sin to take communion in only one kind without taking the cup. Right? That scares people. You've got these nice ordinary Catholics who are being told that being who they are is a mortal sin. And it's not only that Karlstadt is telling people that this sort of stuff is mortal sin. Something goes further. There's a monk in Luther's cloister, right, in the monastery in Wittenberg that Luther is part of. Not there anymore. Of course, he's in the Wartburg. But one of the leading monks now in the monastery in Wittenberg is a man named Zwilling. And he leads a riot with monks going through the church, smashing the altars where the private masses are said. Right, this notion of the sacrifice of the mass, it's so offensive to them, they're gonna trash the place. They're going to get rid of those private altars. There are also riots led by townsmen or students carrying knives, throwing stones, pushing priests away from the altars, dragging them off, scaring them, intimidating them. You know, not only do these poor people with weak consciences get threatened, it's mortal sin if you don't take the cup. Some of them get intimidated by violence. Luther ends up being very displeased with this, but he's not there. Well, he stays in the Wartburg for a number of months, from around, let's see, it's May 1521 till March of 1522. And eventually he's just got to go back. The town council of Wittenberg writes him a letter saying, please come back, right? Of course, the letters have to be sent secretly, but everyone, by March of 1522, everyone knows that Luther is still around. And they send him a letter saying, please come back. We need you. This is getting out of hand. So Luther comes back and he preaches a series of sermons in March of 1522 where he sort of settles people down. And he says, look, treat these people with weak consciences gently. Just preach to them. Don't force them. Don't be violent with them. It has to be preached and taught that by tongue and pen, he says, that to hold Mass in this manner or another is sinful. And yet no one should be dragged away from it by their hair. It should be left to God, and His word should be allowed to work alone. Right? The power that changes things, Luther thinks, is God's word. This is the song that he's going to be singing the whole time. It's words that do everything. And it's words that have the power. Stop forcing people. Stop coercing them. That's not going to change their hearts. God's word will change their hearts. God's word and His word alone should be allowed to work without our work or interference. Why? Because it is not in my power or hand to fashion the hearts of men as the potter molds the clay, says Luther. I can get no farther than their ears. Their hearts I cannot reach. And since I cannot pour faith into their hearts, I cannot, nor should I, force anyone to have faith. That's God's work alone. So we should preach the word, but the result should be left solely to God's good pleasure. Well, Luther's a powerful preacher, and he does, in fact, get control of this situation in Wittenberg, partly by using his own personal influence. He threatens to leave if they don't start calming down. He says in one of these sermons, and if you do not stop all this stuff, neither the emperor nor anyone else will be needed to drive me away from you, say maybe back to the Wartburg or something. I will go without urging, and I dare say that none of my enemies, though they have caused me much sorrow, have wounded me as you have, he says to the Wittenbergers. I will leave you unasked, and I shall regret that I ever preached so much as one sermon in this place. Right? Like, let's stop this stuff, or I'm getting out of here. Right? If you want me around to help you out, then cut it out. Cut the violence. Stop compelling people. And people don't want him to leave. People really want Luther around. He's the hero. Melanchthon and Karlstadt aren't. So they get in line. Meanwhile, let's say one thing about the crucial logic of Luther's position. He wants to say that there's a lot of things that you shouldn't be compelling people about. Right? There are a lot of things that are what he calls free in these sermons. Later Protestant tradition calls them indifferent or adiaphora in Greek. You can do them or not, like elevating the host. Luther thinks it doesn't really mean an offering or a sacrifice, and so since it doesn't, you're free not to do it or you're free to do it. It doesn't matter. It's not commanded in Scripture. It's not forbidden in Scripture. If it's not forbidden in Scripture, you can do it. Luther is in that sense not a Puritan. The Puritans are those later in Christian history who wanted a pure biblical worship, which meant if it's not in the Scripture, you don't do it. And Luther says, if it's not in the scripture, if it's not forbidden, you can do it. It's free. You don't have to do just what the Bible says. You can do lots of things that aren't in the Bible, so long as you don't require them. That's the logic of Christian freedom for Luther.